for 30 more minutes. We'll have Georgia baseball tonight. The Dogs taking on Georgia Southern at 6:35. That'll be over in North Augusta. And then the Dogs and Eagles play again tomorrow at Georgia Southern at 6 o'clock. And then it's on down to Florida to take on the Gators this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that is the number one Gators. In the coaches poll, Georgia's actually number two. That's not one of the ones I use, though. So I got Georgia number three. So number one versus number three. But no matter how you slice it, certainly a huge weekend coming up. All right, the SEC basketball tournament gets underway tomorrow night. The Dogs are taking on Ole Miss. And I love talking some Georgia basketball history, especially when we can bring in a man who's now officially a legend, although I had him as a legend before, Rod Cole joining us. Hey, Rod, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for taking a few minutes. And when did you find out that you were going to get legendary status? How did all that come about?
Actually, John Bateman called me, I guess about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, and told me about it. And I feel this is a special award since it was awarded by the SEC. You know, I've always been a big Georgia fan since I was a kid. And so if it would have came from University of Georgia, it would have been great, but it would have been kind of home cooking. So to receive it from the SEC is actually very special.
Well, that's awesome. So you kind of answered one of my questions because I knew you, or we know you're from Conyers and played at Rockdale County. So you, as a kid, you were always a Georgia fan?
Well, I became a Georgia fan kind of like most other people during the Herschel Walker period. When they won, and then I watched when Georgia went to the Final Four and knocked off Michael Jordan and Chris Mullin, and I started following Georgia basketball at that time. And being that I was born here, I'm a Grady baby, and being that I was born here, one of the things when I was deciding schools, and Coach Durham recruited me from Rockdale, hi to all my Rockdale family, but when he recruited me, one of the things that he said was, you know, if you go out of state, then you have to reestablish yourself, and then you got to kind of figure out, you know, what you want to do long-term business-wise. You have a name here in the state, meaning that you won a state championship at Rockdale, and in a small arena, you have name recognition, which is huge in business or any arena you want to be in. And then if you go to the University of Georgia and accomplish some really good things down there, then your name would resonate, you know, around the state. And so that kind of stuck with me over the years, and like many other things, Coach Durham proved to be right.
By the way, Coach Durham is one of my favorite all-time coaches, and what the story you just told there is so Coach Durham, because I wonder what he would say to the guys that he recruited to come in from out of state. Well, no, here's what you got to do. So he's like, he's telling you got to stay in state. You get to establish yourself. What did he tell Dominique and Vern Fleming and all those guys? That's why he was so great.
If you know Coach Durham, he's a master of words. He's really a true inspiration, and you know it's funny when you're kind of in the moment. He's a tough guy, kind of like a Bobby Knight type guy, and he doesn't mince words and stuff like that. So you know, in the heat of battle, you fight for him, and you look back at it, you're like, man, he was tough. But then when you get out in the real world and realize how tough the world is and you got to fight through adversity and a lot of different things, you really appreciate him more and more as the years kind of go by.
Talking with Rod Cole, who was a huge part of Georgia's – well, not just a – he was a gigantic part of Georgia's 1990 SEC championship team. He is Georgia's 2020 SEC legend.
Rod, a lot of people want to know, back in that 1990, one of the most legendary games, I guess, in Georgia basketball, you went up against a guy named Shaquille O'Neal, which wound up being pretty good at what he did in basketball. But what was it like back in his LSU days and having to go up against what was essentially a giant on the court?
Well, the funny thing is I didn't have to go up against him. That would have been a mismatch. I think I was about 100.
Just being on the
pounds.
Court, yeah.
So I had to guard a guy named Chris Jackson,
oh.
Probably the toughest guy that I ever had to defend. And the funny thing in Chris Jackson's draft clips, where they showed all those video clips and highlights, I probably was 3 out of 5 of them. Because he was a tough guard. But, you know, Shaquille was just anomaly. I mean, you know, he ran up and down the floor like a 6'3 guy, and he was stronger than everybody else. And never really imagining he would turn out to be as great as he was, because Stanley Roberts, another guy on that team, another 7-footer, was probably more polished early on as an offensive player. And so that team was really, really stacked. So for us to beat those guys a couple of different times, looking back on it, was tough. But the reality is, when you step between those lines, you have confidence. And then you also have the pride of being from the state of Georgia and wanting the University of Georgia to really do well. And we're all competitors. So it's not like we look at those guys. And one of the things I always thought when I played was never be intimidated by anybody when you step on those in between those lines. Because you're a man just like they are. And Coach Durham said they put their shorts on just like you do. And when you step out there, if you give them respect, you're already defeated. And so that was kind of the mindset I took in between it. You know, when we step in between those lines, it's you and I, kind of like a boxer. And so it wasn't like we went in that game expecting to lose. We went in that game with every intention of winning, no matter who we were facing at that point. We got in a good rhythm. We had role players at that time that understood their roles. And we stuck together, and it really turned out well for us. And again, as you know, 19, 20-year-old kids, you don't really realize what you've accomplished. But looking back on it, 30-some-odd years to win an SEC championship regular season, and that be the only one in Georgia's history, it's kind of bittersweet. It's an accomplishment, but to be the only one is kind of sad for the program, because, you know, as a Georgia guy, you know, I want to see them be successful. And so it's good to set that barometer, but you want to see much more success. Coach Green is recruited really well, and I think the future looks bright for University of Georgia basketball.
Well, Rod, that 1990 season, when did so a lot of it's kind of funny. I was talking about this. You know, everyone sees or remembers 1980 and the U.S. Olympic hockey team and the win over, you know, the Soviet Union, and they just kind of think that was the gold medal game, and it wasn't. They still had to win another game. So now, over time, everyone thinks back to that LSU game here in Athens, that was the one that clinched the SEC championship. But in fact, y'all had to go, I think, to Auburn, right, after that, and win over there. I mean, to avoid, you know, kind of a letdown after that big day against LSU was pretty special too. But what do you remember about what you guys had to do to win the championship after the LSU game?
Well, we actually went up to Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee.
After the LSU game. Yeah, we went to Tennessee. We could have clinched at Tennessee, because I think LSU dropped the game after they lost to us as well. And SEC at that time was really, really tough. Allen Houston played for Tennessee, and we all know what he accomplished in the NBA as well. And to go up to Tennessee and play, and we were really, really focused, but they got the best of us. And so at that point, it was up to us to close it out going to Auburn. Road games in SEC at that time were very, very tough in that league. And so going to that game, on the bus ride to the game, it was very quiet. People were very focused. There was no laughing and joking. It was just like a business deal. Everybody put on their business suits and kind of went out before the game. It wasn't a lot of rah-rah. It was like, okay, you know, this is something that we got to get accomplished. And we were really laser focused, kind of like we were in the LSU game. I never played in a game like the LSU game. It was like I had tunnel vision. I didn't see the crowd. I didn't see anything. I was just focused. And it was not simulated at the Auburn game, but it was a real, real deep focus to close that out, because even if we would have lost, we would end up tying LSU. But that's not really what we wanted. I mean, a tie is, okay, we're co-champions and stuff like that. And so we really wanted to be University of Georgia to be champions by themselves without LSU, and it was really a special year for us. So, you know, winning that game, Latero played really well, Alec played really good. Everybody as a whole played really, really strong that game, and we came out victorious at the end. I wish we could have won it at Georgia, and that crowd after LSU game and running on the court and looking back at those times, man, it's just incredible to be a part of that. I remember the LSU game. I had maybe 25, 30 family members standing outside of Stegman Coliseum. So that was just an incredible atmosphere. And I played a lot of basketball over the years, but that was one of the most incredible atmospheres I've ever been a part of.
Well, I got to ask you, too, that day was, one of the all-timers as far as Georgia basketball goes. But I got to ask you, because a lot of people don't realize this, and back then, everybody in the SEC played everybody home and away. They don't do that anymore. But so if you played LSU at home, you got them away. You know, same for, there wasn't an East and a West back then. So you guys had played LSU on the road earlier in the season. It was a January game. And talk about an intense game. It came down to the end of regulation, and somebody got fouled, and he had to make three free throws just to send the game to overtime. Talk about ice water. What do you remember about all that? And how often do you get asked about that? Because I don't know that a lot of fans remember that that was a huge win that season, and you had to make three free throws just to get the Dogs in overtime.
Well, the funny thing about that game is Latero was sick that game, and so we were kind of going shorthanded. He was second leading scorer, I think, behind Alec. And so going down there, I don't think a lot of people anticipated us doing a whole bunch with that team, LSU being loaded. But Jody Patton, who came in with me, with my class, really shot the ball really, really good. And so going in that game, I mean, we were loose. But the biggest thing was the Super Bowl, I think, was in New Orleans that weekend. so you had a lot of media in town. And so we just battled and battled. And we had some really good players. Marshall Wilson also was in my class, and Neville Austin. So we had some really good, talented guys. The situation with the three-point shot, I saw the clock winding down and went up, and Shaq came out to try to block it, and I kind of pumped it a little bit and shot and got fouled.
Shaq was the one that fouled you?
Yeah, I think Shaq came out and fouled me. He came out.
Oh, I love it.
It was two guys there. And so he came out and jumped. And so instead of releasing it, I kind of pumped and brought it down and shot it.
I love it.
I kind of turned my left foot to the side, because if I would have had it straight on, it would have been I would have been stepping on the line.
Right.
So I kind of turned it to the side. He came out, I pumped, and he bumped me a little bit, and they called a foul. And never really seen Coach Durham get real nervous, but in the huddle at that time, he wouldn't look at me. He would kind of glance at me, kind of smile and look off and talk to the other guys, and I found that kind of funny. So I was kind of snickering a little bit, you know, in the huddle when he was talking, because, again, you know, Coach Durham was a really tough guy, and so to see him get nervous was hilarious. And so I just kind of took myself out of the moment. And one thing basketball people always say, you know, take yourself and be in the backyard, just relax and just focus on the rim. And so after I hit the first one, I think Coach Dale Brown called a timeout to freeze me. And actually all it did was give me an opportunity to calm down again and relax. And so I went back to the bench, and Coach Dale was still nervous and kind of smiling. And so when I went out and shot the next one, again, I kind of smiled because everybody was so nervous, but I was really relaxed at that point. And then he called another timeout to freeze me again, I guess. And I was just calm again. He gave me another opportunity to sit down and just relax, and then went out and hit the third one and kind of smiled at the end. And people always said, did you grin out there? I said, yeah, I was laughing because everybody was looking at the moment like it was so much pressure, but I was just really calm at that time. And so knocked it down, and we went in overtime and won a big, big game. And I think out of everybody, I think Coach Durham realized how huge that win was. For us, it was a win, and anytime we step on the floor, we expect to win. It was a really good victory, but until later on when we end up beating them at home, then it really became a big, big game at that point. So, but, yeah.
That's awesome.
When I got back to my dorm room that night, I probably had 100 messages from people I didn't even know.
And that was a midweek game, too, wasn't it, I think?
It was.
Yeah. That was a Wednesday night, yeah.
So your proof, there's the big debate of does freezing a shooter, does it make him think too much or calm him down? And I think I've heard all I need to hear that it's a good thing for the shooter.
It's a good thing for me. I mean, I think it depends on the player,
right?
And their psyche and how they think of it. But yeah, I mean, for me, it was a good thing. It helped me relax. I think I probably would hit all three anyway because I was focused that night. But it helped me. It helped me calm down
and
just to see Coach Durham be so frenzied and stuff like that. Then you know, I kind of laughed at the situation. And as kids, again, you don't realize that you know. A whole bunch of people watching the game on TV. You're in the game. You're not focused about everybody else. You're just, you know, focused on the task at hand.
Well, we're joined by Rod Cole, who is Georgia's 2020 SEC legend at the SEC tournament. So when are you headed to Nashville?
I'm going to head up tomorrow morning. I'm interested in seeing my young dogs play, and hopefully they can get on a good run like Dennis Felton's.
Yeah, there you go.
Years ago, I was actually at the tournament. It's funny. My wife and I got to the Georgia Dome right when the tornado hit.
Oh, wow.
And we were just sitting down, and the top of the dome started moving like a tent. And I'm like, hey, babe, let's go. Hey, let's go. And she just kept looking. I'm like, hey, let's go. And so everybody kind of got out, and we walked out. And it's crazy because we always park in the back of the dome. We walked out of the back of the dome, got in our car, and just there was no traffic, and calmly drove home. And we got home and watched the news. I guess the tornado went across the front side. And I grew up with Gary Waits, who played at Alabama, a really, really close friend of mine. I mean, he actually is from Conyers. They ended up going to Towers, and we played against each other for 4 years, and he was at Alabama. And he was actually on the news because he went out the front way.
Oh, wow.
Alabama played right before we did, and so they end up having a tournament that, of all places, Georgia Tech, without fans. And with this coronavirus, it might be something similar coming soon down the pipe. But Dennis Felton's kids got on a huge run, and that was really, really fun to watch those kids and for them to accomplish that. So, and they actually allowed some former players into the stadium to watch that. So I was a part of that.
Awesome,
special as well.
Well, Rod, you know, we have James Banks on annually to talk. We got to get you on more to talk. I love talking Georgia basketball. I love talking about Coach Durham. He was really good to me when I was a young pup in the broadcasting business, and I've always appreciated that. And you guys were so much fun to watch. And Logan, I'll tell you this, Rod could have scored a lot more points, but he had Alec Kessler and Latero Green he had to get the ball to.
Gotta dish the rock, man.
That's right. That's right. So one of those things, and I've had several people text me around there, like, oh, I love watching you play. If you didn't get a steal, you got a fingertip on a basketball, you were the consummate team player. And those are probably, I guess, the kind of compliments that really mean a lot to you, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about it, again, I don't really dive in a whole bunch of that. And, you know, I go out and play the game. And I was lucky enough to play with some of the greatest scorers in University of Georgia basketball history. Willie Anderson just got inducted to the Georgia Hall of Fame. And he's an incredible, incredible guy. He's like a big brother to me. And Reggie Tinch and Alec Kessler and Latero Green and Jody Patton and Neville Austin and Mike Heron was a guy I played with. So
the Hammer.
You know, games. Yeah, the Hammer. You gain so much from those guys. And so, you know, you can look at LSU's team and say, okay, Shaq and Chris Jackson. But I will tell you, you know, the guys I played with was really, really talented. And Coach Durham did a great job of recruiting. You take James Banks and Lamar Hurd and Vern Fleming. And so when you look at the annals of Georgia basketball history and you go down and you look at how many players played for Coach Durham, I mean, it's incredible what he was able to accomplish there. It's funny because, again, he was a tough guy back then, and now we laugh. And, Joe, he is hilarious to be around, man. He's a joy to be around. His public speaking is incredible. And so I'm always a proponent of always learning. And anytime I'm around him, I mean, I pick up so much stuff, man. He's just an incredible, incredible coach.
Well, to hear you talk about him, you can tell he definitely – means a lot to you, and I know he means a lot to a lot of his former players like that. Rod, we got to do this again. This was a lot of fun, and congratulations on the honor of being Georgia's representative this year at the SEC basketball tournament as one of the legends. And enjoy yourself up in Nashville. Safe travels, and let's do this again.
Okay, will do. Thanks, guys.
All right. Go Dogs. Thank you. Go Dogs. Rod Cole.